בו מציע דף נון אלף עמוד אלף, sentimental value, לוקח מבעל הבית, אין לו עליו הונאה. So this is amazing, an amazing piece of Gemara, and concentrate carefully, it's worth it. Because what we're looking at here, we've talked about the fact of hona'ah. You can't overcharge a person for an item that you're selling more than a sixth. You can't overcharge at all. It's an isur d'oraisa, it's a prohibition of the Torah to overcharge, even 1 cent. If it's more than a sixth, then that gives the other person the right to cancel the deal, to ask for his money back. There are all sorts of implications of that. Exactly what the market value is, how you measure it, that's part of what all these sugyas deal with. The question is when an item has sentimental value to me. Yes, you could buy my gold Rolex on the market for $10,000. But my gold Rolex, this was my grandfather's. I'm not going to sell it for $10,000. So, and you desperately want a gold Rolex, and I agree to sell it to you, but I'm selling it to you for $20,000 because that's what it's worth to me. Where does that fit in with honor? Is sentimental value just a bit of nonsense? It's just an idea in a person's mind? Or is sentimentality really part of the value of an item? What does that mean? Because an item sold by an individual from his or her personal collection, a secondhand item, has a narrative attached to it. If you buy an item, a generic item in the store, there's no narrative. It is what it is. It was manufactured, it's available, you buy it. But you buy something secondhand, that's why some people just love browsing secondhand stores, not just to get a mitzia. It's because there's a story behind every item, behind every object. And that narrative attaches a different value to the item. The narrative itself attaches value to the item. What's important is not just the idea, which in itself is wonderful, but to see how we extrapolate all of this out of the Gemara. How do we look at this? Where do we find it? What is it all about? So we start with a story again, a case study. How gavadav naked varachi varshechil is vune. There was a certain person who had silk to sell. Kari shita, he advertised online that he's selling this for 6 slaim or whatever the amount is. Veshav yechamisha, but it was really only worth 5. Market value was 5, he was advertising for 6. And the truth is, if somebody would have offered him 5.5, he would have accepted. Look at this clever Jewish trader. Comes along and he says, if I pay him 5.5, I know it's worth 5, I know he's asking 6. I know he'll take 5.5. But if I take him 5.5, I can't claim it back. I can't say this was onah. You exploited me because it's less than a sixth. So although he's not allowed to exploit me, he did, and I bought. I have no comeback. I'm done. Etain lo shita. Rather, let me give him the 6 that he's asking for. Ve'et ba leila dinah. Then I'll take him to Beis Din, and I'll say I want the 1 back. That way, I get it for 5 instead of for 5.5. It's brilliant. Atele kame de rove. So they come to rove to ask the shaila. This whole discussion about onah is if you buy from a retail store. But if you buy from a private individual, ein lo alav onah. There is no onah. Wow. What does that mean? There isn't onah at all? A private individual can overcharge, can do what he wants? What is this about? Says Rashi. Mibal habayit tachshitin uchlei tashmish shelo. If you buy from a balabait, his personal things, it's not a private person who's trading. It's his personal goods. He's selling you his tableware. He's selling you his or her jewelry. You're buying their own stuff. Chavivin alav. They're precious to them. They have a relationship to this object. So it's important to see that the Torah gives credence to this. This is a real thing. This is not just imaginary. Your things you've had through your life and you've used, they've been on your Shabbos table. Every Shabbos, your children were there, your children grew up around this table. These objects now contain within them a whole lot of meaning. If he sells them, he's going to sell them for a lot of money. That's how it is. V'havalei kemefaresh yodea ani sheyesh bo onah. And it's as if the buyer says, everybody knows this, this is not a chidush, everybody knows that, says Rashi. And it's as if the buyer declares, I know this is overpaying and I'm okay with it. Damrinan lekaman ein lo alav ana. On the next page, we learn that if there's a tnai, it's transparent, and the buyer agrees, I know I'm being overcharged, but I'm willing to pay the price, then it's not ona. Kach matzati b'shiltus de Rav Achai. I found this pshat in the Shi'iltas of Rav Achai Gaon. We've talked about the Gaonim, that bridging period between the time of the Gemara and the Rishonim. Why does Rashi say, I found this in the Shi'iltas of Rav Achai Gaon? He never says that. Everything Rashi tells us comes from somewhere. He never says, I learned this. Occasionally he'll say, from Marabeim I heard this, I learned this from one of them. Very occasionally. I learned it from, this is from Rav Achai Gaon. Why does he have to tell us that? So clearly, there are other ways of learning it. And this way has implications. And the only reason Rashi learns this way is because that's how Rav Achai Gaon learned it. So what are the other ways of learning it? So if we learn Rabbeinu Chananel very carefully, we'll discover the other way of learning it. Rabbeinu Chananel starts and says, this story with Rava and the following story with Rav Chista, there's a parallel story, the next story in the Gemara, it's exactly the same, different personalities, different commodities, but it's exactly the same story. Shnehem Shavim, they're both the same. In the second paragraph of Rabbeinu Chananel in the sources, Mia Shaminan Mihani Trei Uvdi, Uvdi Devar Shechiv, Uvdi Dechipi. One thing we do see from both of these stories, the story of the silk and the story of the jewelry, De Yad'u Mikame De Lisbon Luhu De Itzbuhu Ona Vezavninu. Point number one. Get clear, says Rabbeinu Chananel. Remember, Rabbeinu Chananel is so important because he's the bridge between the Geonim and North Africa. So Rabbeinu Chananel was born in Italy at about 20 years old. His father goes to take a position in Tunisia, which is what is today Tunisia, in Cairo. And Rabbeinu Chananel grows up there and teaches there. One of his Talmidim is the Rif. The Rif teaches the Rimigash, when he goes to Spain. The Rimigash establishes all the yeshivas of Spain. The Rambam's father is a Talmud of the Rimigash. So the Rabbeinu Chananel is really important. It's interesting, how did Rabbeinu Chananel get to Italy at that time? Where were the Jews in Italy from? Possibly from the time of the Churban. There were Jews in Italy. The Oruch was in Italy at that time, in Rome. And we had Rabbeinu Chananel. There was an important center of learning in Italy. And they went over to Africa, Rabbeinu Chananel, and then started all those yeshivas of North Africa and all the Torah of North Africa. So Rabbeinu Chananel is very important. Rabbeinu Chananel says, know that he clearly knows that he's overpaying because he does this whole calculation. I know that it's worth six and it's worth five and he's asking six. I'll pay. So he knows all the details. There's no information missing. Uvatar hachikamu ala moicher ta'anitu ta'ana. And then he comes and wants to claim from the seller. The Lord de Chaim asks Rabbeinu Chananel, why does Rava not say to him, you knew what was going on and you accepted it? That would be the right answer, especially the way Rashi's learning. Why does he not simply say, the story you've just told me implies that you knew it was worth six, that it was worth five, and you knew he's claiming six, and you were plotting whether to offer five and a half or to offer six, but you knew everything, and you bought. In that case, you accepted it. As we see further on, if they've made a deal, if there's open acceptance, then the deal applies. You can't undo it. Why does Rava say you can't go back and renege? Because you bought it from a private individual. Why introduce a new element? You don't have to. Just say, because you agreed to it. You knew what you were doing. Because the only time you can say to somebody, you knew and you bought, Ela im yifaresh lo, is if he makes a declaration. Shechevet zeh eino shavet adamim alalu v'ratza v'kibel. Only if the seller makes a written declaration or a verbal declaration, you should know I'm charging you more than the market value. And he says, that's fine. Then you forgo your rights to onah. But if it wasn't actually stated, you don't forgo it. And that's why Rova has to come at it through a different route and say, it's because you bought from a private individual. So what? What's different if you bought from a private individual? So explains Rabbeinu Chananel in the first piece, the same as Rashi says. Damrina, because we say on the second line of Rabbeinu Chananel, Mani tashmishte de inish yakri ale ve'ilav dahavu yavile de meyitiri lo avu mazbinle. A person's personal property is valuable to him, and he wouldn't sell it if it wasn't at a high price. So Rabbeinu Chananel is amazing chidush that Rabbeinu Chananel tells us, a new idea, that the principle of ona'a doesn't apply to when there's a private owner. When you're selling your personal property, the principles of ona'a don't apply. That is not the same as Rashi. Because what does Rashi say? It's mechila, which means what? There is ona'a. There is ona'a. You forwent the ona'a. If you wouldn't have forgone the ona'a, you would have had a claim. There is ona'a, but you forwent it. Rabbeinu Chananel says, there isn't ona'a. The laws of ona'a do not apply in this case. And there are massive implications to these two views. The Ritvo takes it further in Kiddushin. And the Ritvo says, v'shamina me'acha, from a case in Kiddushin, sha'amocher chefetz lechaviro b'shitu v'shuk lo shavu ela chamisha. If you sell something to your friend for six and in the market it's only worth five, if it's worth six to the buyer, there's no ona'a. So he extends Rabbeinu Chananel's principle even further. Not only if it's my personal property do I attach a high value to it, and everybody knows that, and therefore ona'a doesn't apply. Not only in that case, but even if it's valuable to the buyer. So the subjectivity of value extends, according to the Ritvo, from seller to buy. The Rabbeinu Chananel is only talking about the seller. That if it's a private sale, that has a different value. What happens if the buyer says, I've always wanted this gold watch. I've wanted the one that your grandfather wore. I don't want a regular gold Rolex. I want this gold Rolex. For me, this is worth $20,000. Okay, if it's for you, it's worth $20,000. Is that a din of mechila? Or is that a din of ein lo onah? There is no onah in such a case. Says the Ritva, ein bo onah. There's no onah. That also is the case. We learn from this whole idea that there is a subjective ability to attach a value to an object way in excess of the market, and then onah falls away. That's how far the Ritva goes. What does the Rambam hold? So let's look at the words of the Rambam. Bal habayit shemachar klei tashmisho ein lo honaya she'ilulei lo hirbu lo adamim lo haya mocher lo klei tashmisho. If a bal habayit, a personal person, sells his usable, his day-to-day items, there is no onah. He does not have onah, because if it wasn't sold for a lot of money, he wouldn't have sold it in the first place. In your opinion, is the Rambam going like Rashi or like the Rabbeinu Chananel? Is the Rambam saying there's no onah, or is the Rambam saying there is onah, but he was moichel? Well, how do you think the Rambam's learning? So the Achronim get into a big tiz about this. Some say it's like the Rashi, some say it's definitely, like most say it's definitely not learning. Rashi is learning differently altogether. He has his own shitta. But the Shulchan Aruch teaches us. Rabbi Yosef Karo learns the Rambam. And that's why when you learn the Shulchan Aruch, you've got to learn the Shulchan Aruch with the Rambam. You've got to learn the Shulchan Aruch with the Tur in order to understand the Shulchan Aruch. Because by the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam and adds in one word. And by adding that one word in, he clarifies how the Rambam holds. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Ba'al ha-bayit ha-mocher et klei tashmisho, same as the Rambam, ve'ina et ha-lokeach, and he overcharged the buyer. Ein bo din ona'a. What word does the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch add in? Din. The laws of ona'a don't apply. And he's saying that in the words of the Rambam. Doesn't say the Rambam says ein lo ona'a, and that leads to this big discussion about how does the Rambam hold. Does he hold like Rabbeinu Chananel, or does he hold like Rashi? Ein bo din ona'a, says the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam holds like Rabbeinu Chananel. And that's why Rashi says, this is from Shiltas de Rav Achai. Because there's strong reason to learn like the Rambam learns, that there's no din onah. But that's not how Rav Achai Gaon learned. The Rav Achai Gaon in the Shiltas learned that there is a din onah, but there's mechila. There's a big nafkamina, there's a big difference and implication into which way you learn. As the Shulchan Aruch says in the next line, ve'yesh mi she'omer de'davka she'alokeach yodea she'ze ha'mecher bal habayit. This only applies, according to another view, that only if the buyer knows that the goods are being sold by a private individual. Avalim lo yada, but if he didn't know, he just bought it from eBay, and he didn't know, is this a shop that's selling on eBay, or is this a private person selling on eBay? He doesn't know. Or shekanas sirsuru, he bought it from an agent. Yesh bo ana, then there is ona. Who is this Yesh Mishi Omer? Who is the second view that you've got to know? According to Rabbeinu Chananel, do you have to know? What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? Laws of Anah don't apply. You don't have to know anything. When it's a private sale, laws of Anah don't apply. Who is it that says, no, you have to know? Says the Vilna Gaon. Harosh v'ayin Rashi sham. Look at Rashi carefully. And you'll see that that Yesh Mishi Omer is Rashi. Because Rashi says that it's a din mechila, you're forgoing it. You can't forgo it if you don't know. If you don't understand the circumstances, you have to have the information to be able to forgo it. So whether the laws of Onah are set aside in a case where you don't know who the seller is, whether the seller is a private individual or the seller is a retail organization, a corporation, if you don't know, then it depends on the machloket Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel. According to Rashi, if you don't know, you can't be mochel, and therefore you can't forgo it. And if you haven't forgone it, you can always come back and claim your money back. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's got nothing to do with whether you knew or not. The fact is, when a private person sells, the way of the valuation is a different kind of evaluation. You value the private objects, the private items of a person's own home, you value that differently because their sentimental attachment to the object affects the value, and they're not going to sell it at a regular price. They might sell it at a much higher price, and that higher price is the right value for that particular object, because you don't just value an object by its what it is as a commodity. You also value it by its relationship, by its connection, by its context. Who owned it? What the story is, what the narrative is behind it. And if one understands that there's a lot of story behind it, one understands that a seller might be more reluctant to part with it. And that builds value into the item and makes it a more expensive and a more sought-after value. I feel bad talking about valuation in front of you. It's like, you're the world expert in valuation, but what can I do? This is the Gemara, so maybe in your next valuation case you can get into an opinion that pits the Rabbeinu Chananel against Rashi, and you work it out. Both dais are brought in the Shulchan Aruch from the V'yesh Mishi Omer. It would seem to be that the Shulchan Aruch prefers the view of Rashi.